You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, so we're speaking about supporting a loved one through addiction. And throughout this week, we've been joined by Dr. Baroness Peters speaking to us about this very subject. Now, the road to recovery is rarely ever a straight line. It's often a turbulent journey marked by soaring moments of clarity and devastating setbacks. In the midst of this challenging landscape, for many, the role of faith and spirituality becomes a crucial compass, a source of resilience, and sometimes a point of complex struggle. So we're concluding this conversation with a lesson on the reality of the recovery process. Dr. Baroness Peters, welcome back once again. Thank you so much for joining us on the Maranatha Drive.
Good afternoon, Bongi. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Beautiful.
Happy to be back again.
Oh, we're so grateful to have you back and so grateful for the time that you shared with us this entire week. It's been such a blessing having you on and sharing with us from this very, very important subject.
Praise God.
Amen. Amen. All right. So we're speaking about some of the challenges that people might face during especially the early stages of recovery. What might those be? What are some of those challenges?
Well, the early stages of recovery are often the most vulnerable because the person is transitioning from a life built around addiction mm-hmm. to a life built around healing. Everything such as body, mind, emotions, and spiritual habits is being reshaped at once. And so some of these struggles are like intense cravings and urges. The brain is still healing. We need to remember that. The reward system, the dopamine levels, and the neural pathways are recalibrating. So cravings can feel overwhelming and they are not signs of weakness. They are signs of a brain in recovery.
Then
we have the emotional turbulence. Years of numbing feelings with substances means emotions come back with full force. Anger, sadness, fear, guilt, anxiety. This emotional flood is normal but uncomfortable. Then we have the mental fog lifting and shame return. So as clarity returns, a person begins to see the consequences of the addiction more clearly. And then we have withdrawal symptoms or health issues. Because even after detox, the body can experience fatigue, sleep disturbances, appetite changes, headaches, and so on. So then there is the broken relationships which needs repairing, such as family members may be cautious, hurt, or distrustful. So rebuilding takes time and shame can make the loved one withdraw instead of reconnect. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the old environment that triggers that trigger you. So such as people, places, routines, those kind of things. Often makes them feel lonely because they must now step away from those old circles.
Sure. So when you put it that way, it feels like even just the idea of the recovery process, already there's so much on it, there's so much to it that I assume that the person who's actually, you know, the person who is addicted is probably intimidated by that, by the thought of all of that, hey?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's really a fragile early phase which becomes the foundation for lasting transformation.
That should help us as those supporting people going through this to be more patient. Because I think sometimes it's easy for us to just be like, I mean, just snap out of it. Just stop taking the thing, right? Stop using
and that's the most common thing, you know, that the family members say to the addicts is snap out of it.
Yeah.
You know, get on with your life. But it's easier said than done.
Right, right.
Because we all deal with these kind of things differently. Yeah.
Very true. Very true. And if we're honest about it, no one would be an addict if it was that easy to make the decision. No one would actually choose that for themselves.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And what does the long-term recovery look like from a biblical perspective, emphasizing, you know, ongoing spiritual transformation versus immediate abstinence, just going cold turkey, no more, I'm done with this?
Yes. Well, the Bible doesn't describe recovery as a one-time event. Scripture describes it as an ongoing process of spiritual transformation. It's, you know, What does Paul say? We have to die daily. Mm. It's a daily renewal in Christ, a daily. And Romans 12 verse 2 captures this so beautifully. It says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yes.
This means long-term recovery is much more than abstinence. It is a lifelong journey of mind renewal, replacing those old thoughts and patterns with God's truth, biblical wisdom, and healthy coping strategies. And then we have the gradual transformation of character, the fruits of the Spirit, which is love, peace, patience, self-control. These become the new markers of progress. And then healing that goes beneath the surface, the wounds, traumas, and lies that fueled addiction are slowly exposed and healed. And then, of course, the daily surrender to Christ. Recovering becomes a form of discipleship. Mm. It says, Lord, shape me, guide me, strengthen me today. And that's the prayer every day because it's a daily surrender.
Beautiful, beautiful. I love that. And that's such a beautiful lesson, even for those who might not be specifically addicted to some substance or some kind of harmful behavior. But there are other harmful behaviors that we get away with because they're not against the law, right? There are certain the sins that we commit that we might not necessarily get arrested for, that we commit so freely and it's so difficult to get away from. But if we apply that same principle to that, that could be so powerful.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if I can add also to long-term recovery is ultimately about becoming the person God originally designed them to be, free, whole, restored, renewed. Isn't that beautiful?
That is beautiful. That is beautiful. It's not about my idea of what I should be, but surrendering to God's idea of who I am.
Amen.
I love that. I love that. And how do you address the concept of God's forgiveness and grace when a person in recovery experiences a relapse?
Relapse often brings immense shame, but God responds differently than people do. Mm. So God's grace is bigger than failure.
Amen.
Psalms 103 verse 18 to 14 describes a God who is compassionate, patient, and slow to anger, who remembers we are dust. Mm. He does not discard his children when they stumble.
Mm.
So relapse is not the end. It's a message. A relapse reveals a trigger that wasn't addressed, a wound that needs healing, a boundary that needs strengthening, a support gap that must be filled. Mm. It's information, not condemnation. And God's grace doesn't excuse sin. It empowers change.
Amen.
God's forgiveness is not a license to continue failing. Instead, grace gives a person the courage to get back up and continue the journey. The focus shifts to restoration, not punishment.
Mm.
So the biblical response to relapse looks like, let's process what happened.
Mm.
Let's strengthen your support. Let's identify the vulnerable areas. Let's return to God together. And then grace lifts people up. Truth helps them walk differently, and together they break the shame that fuels addiction.
Ooh, powerful, powerful. And how can the family environment foster grace and truth and support the recovering loved one's journey toward freedom in Christ and, you know, coming back to healthy relationship patterns?
Families often swing to extremes.
Okay.
Either harshness to the truth about grace or rescuing grace without truth.
Right.
But biblical love holds both. Grace includes encouragement, patience, listening, emotional safety, speaking identity. You are loved.
Mm.
You are valued. I love this. And then truth also includes clear house rules, accountability, honesty about behaviors that cause harm, and then consistent boundaries. Mm. And another very important one is open communication. Families should allow honest conversations without fear. Recovery thrives in transparency. And you know, Christ-centered home atmosphere, prayer, devotion, forgiveness, and then healthy relationship modeling. Families influence recovery more than they realize. Modeling empathy, respect, emotional stability. The recovering person shows the recovering person a new way of living. Mm-hmm. So when grace and truth walk together, the home becomes a safe place for growth, not a battlefield.
Amen. Beautiful, beautiful. And then with the knowledge that the healing process is not always a straight line, how can we celebrate small victories in the recovery journey and acknowledge God's hand at work even in that process?
Small victories are not small to God.
Okay.
They are seeds of transformation.
Amen.
And such as choosing not to use even for one day, then attending a meeting or a counseling session, apologizing or telling the truth, setting a boundary, rebuilding trust, praying instead of reacting, and then making healthy decisions under stress. So families can celebrate by speaking words of affirmation, thanking God together in prayer, tracking progress in a gratitude journal, very important too, sharing testimonies, creating small rewards or recognition moments. So celebrating these victories gives the recovering person a sense of hope and reinforces the truth that progress is possible and God is helping them one step at a time.
Amen. Amen. Now, the one thing about hope that might hold some of us back is the fear of disappointment, the fear of getting, you know, having our hopes crushed. So how can a family cultivate a lasting hope, one that's grounded in, you know, in God's promises of restoration, even if that path to recovery is long and involves setbacks, relapses, and things like that?
We go back to the Bible. Jeremiah 30 and 31 reveals God's heart for restoration. He rebuilds ruined places.
Yep.
He heals wounds. He brings joy after sorrow. He brings his people back with everlasting love. This is the foundation for hope in recovery. So families cultivate hope by daily praying daily, even when nothing seems to change, holding on to identity. The loved one is not an addict. They're a child of God in progress. And also staying surrounded by supportive believers and then remembering past victories. If God did it before, he can do it again. And then speaking life, not fear, not negativity. Words shape atmosphere. Families speak hope in setbacks. God is still working. This is not the end. We believe in your future. So hope becomes the anchor that keeps the family steady through storms, setbacks, and slow progress.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful. And what resources are available for people struggling with addiction as well as their families and loved ones? And I guess as we're concluding, if you could share with our listeners how maybe they can get in touch with you and the services that you provide, you and your ministry.
Oh, okay. Would you like me to do that first or to answer your question?
That's completely up to you. You can maybe share with the resources that are available in general, wherever people might be, and then you can end with the details.
Okay. Sorry, I just misunderstood you. Do you want me to answer the question?
Okay, let's go with the question first. Just share with us the resources
available.
Okay, I'm so sorry. No worries.
Okay. So what a well-rounded support system is essential, and God works through spiritual, clinical, and community resources together.
Mm-hmm.
So the Christian resources is Celebrate Recovery, which is based on the Beatitudes.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have the Life Recovery Bible and Devotional, and then also the faith-based addiction counselors, and then, of course, the church recovery ministries and support groups. Then we have the clinical and community support, addiction-trained therapists, support groups such as AA, which is Alcoholic Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, and then the Smart Recovery Healing method. Mm-hmm. And then we have the medical professionals for detox or medication-assisted treatment. And yes. And then we also have sober living or halfway houses, which can help addicts. And then we have family-specific resources, Christian family counseling, educational workshops on boundaries and enabling, and then pastoral care teams, and then the support from mentors or recovery sponsors. So families must seek too, because addiction affects the whole household, yes. not just the one using yes. it.
Beautiful. And then you are also going to share with us the details of your own, your organization that you're working with, and where we can find your services, your contact details.
Okay. So we are called The Well, and we are located in Magaliesburg, 1 hour out of Johannesburg. Mm-hmm. And we offer where there is, we believe where there is no one is beyond hope. Mm. Healing is possible. Transformation is real. God still meets his children at the well.
Yes.
And so we believe that whether you're battling addiction, rebuilding your health, seeking a fresh start, or longing for deeper spiritual renewal, the well is there for you.
Amazing.
And it is, okay, sorry. And then the website is www.the-well.org.za, and our WhatsApp number is 074-325-6492, and our email is info@the-well.org.za.
Would you just repeat that email address again?
info@the-well.org.za.
Got it. Thank you so much, Berenice. Before I let you go, any final things you want to mention that maybe you want to emphasize that we might have touched on throughout the week or that we missed throughout this week, or a final word just to anybody out there who might be struggling with addiction, or who has a loved one struggling with addiction, or who has been completely casual and uninterested because they can't think of anyone in their circle who has struggled with addiction?
Recovery is not a quick fix or a straight line. Mm. It is a journey of healing, shaped by God's grace, empowered by truth, strengthened through community, and sustained by hope. Mm. God is still restoring. God is still healing. God is still breaking chains. And the recovery journey is one step at a time.
Amen.
And that is proof of God's unfailing love.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So there is hope.
Amen. Love that. Berenice, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate you coming through this entire week, spending your time with us and sharing your knowledge on the subject and everything that
thank
you shared.
Thank you for this wonderful opportunity, for allowing me this. Thank you so much.
It's only
and
a
God
pleasure.
Bless what you're doing.
Amen. Amen. Have a happy Sabbath ahead.
Thanks. Same to you. God bless. Thank you.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.